Texas cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Passions collide over a movie about Jesus and his crucifixion. According to a U.S. Today article, Jewish leaders fear a backlash of anti-Semitism. Mel Gibson's movie in the making on the final hours of Jesus' life won't be on screens, they say, until February, but an early version has ignited claims and incites anti-Semitism. A Jewish human rights organization in Los Angeles already has received dozens of hate calls and letters based on news reports on the film. The Simon Wiesenthal Center told Reuters News Service, and according to that, another group, the Anti-Defamation League, had charged that the current version of the film, The Passion, portrays Jewish authorities and the Jewish mob as the ones responsible for the decision to crucify Jesus. ADL director Abraham Foxman says he hasn't seen the film, but ADL's director of Interfaith Affairs did, and he said it gave him such a disturbing account that Foxman now fears the film will fuel hatred, bigotry, and anti-Semitism. The Passion, a detailed look at Jesus' last day, is so meticulously tied to the gospel that Gibson insisted on dialogue in Aramaic and Latin. But Jews are wary, whenever the story of the crucifixion is retold, because for centuries, portrayals of the crucifixion prompted deadly attacks against them. Mel abhors anti-Semitism, and in no way does he endorse it. However, Paul Larrere, spokesman for the Gibson's Icon production, says the film presents Jesus' death as a direct result of all our sins and part of God's plan for saving mankind. Gibson has been planning to create interfaith programming to go with the film. And also, according to this article, a line from the Gospel of Matthew that some say puts collective guilt on Jews. His blood be on us and on our children, quote unquote, has been cut out. Shots of Jewish leaders sympathetic to Jesus were restored, and the audio will be altered to bring out those sympathetic voices. Right now, it's the sound of an angry mob. Okay, so let's respond to this article. First of all, I don't know, but it seems that the devil is so sly. I mean, he's trying to create more and more hostility between the Jewish people and those who are Bible believers. And then some, he uses the false church, which is particularly the Roman Catholic Church, to agitate all of this. And it's just an amazing thing. Now, let me just get the record straight for you who have first-time listeners to this broadcast, that we are Independent Baptists. And historically, Independent Baptists have always been pro-Israel, have loved the Jewish people. As far as my own study of history, Independent Baptists or Baptists or Anabaptists, they were called many, many years ago, have not been guilty of persecuting the Jewish nation. On the other hand, the Roman Catholic Church during Inquisition time killed literally millions, as well as killing over 53 million Baptists. The Protestants, many of them Lutherans, and other Protestant groups were very anti-Semitic as well. And so we don't affiliate ourselves with that. We have no affinity with that. And therefore, I just want to set the record straight that we are not of that so-called Christian group that has demonstrated anti-Semitism throughout the last, well, over 1,500 years. Now, saying that, now that I've said all that, I just want to mention that anti-Semitism is a real problem. It's a problem in this country, United States of America. It is definitely a problem throughout the world. But of all the countries in this world that should not be anti-Semitic, it should be the United States of America. And what is anti-Semitism, by the way? It might be a new term for some of you. Basically, it's a deep hatred against the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, simply because they are easy targets for this kind of hatred. It's an enmity. And although people try to explain it away, it's really defined in the scriptures. There's always been this enmity, this deep hatred against God's chosen people throughout the scriptures. And the reason is because God's chosen people, the nation Israel, is always represented throughout Bible history, a nation that God had raised up to be the example to all nations of the world. Therefore, consequently, there's been jealousy, and there's been a desire to wipe him off the face of the map. The devil himself is a conspirator, or the main conspirator, behind all the hatred against the Jewish people. You ask, why would he be so angry against the Jewish people? The answer is simply a threefold answer that I preach all around this country. Number one, without the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the scriptures. Number two, without the Jewish people, we wouldn't have the plan of salvation. Number three, without the Jewish people, we wouldn't have a Savior. You say you have some Bible for that? I sure do. Thank you for asking. The Scriptures, we are indebted to the Jewish people for our Bible. Our King James Bible, by the way. For the Bible says it was committed unto them, the Jews, the oracles of God. And then the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. We got our message of salvation through the Jewish nation. And then you claim to be a Bible-believing Christian. Who do you think you pray to every day? That's right, you pray to a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest Jew that ever lived. He is the King of the Jews. He's going to reign over the nation of Israel for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. That's right, you're praying to a Jew. Surprise, surprise. Well, these are three reasons why we are indebted to the Jewish nation. Those are also three reasons why the devil is so angry and so upset and so vindictive against the Jewish people. He hates them with a passion because of their contribution to this world. Because the Bible does talk about that all the families of the earth will be blessed through this seed, the Jewish seed of Abraham. Well, let me just get into some more detail as to this film. And let me clarify something. I do not go to movies. I do not believe it's a good example for a Bible-believing Christian to be seen in a movie theater. These are just opportunities for a stumbling block to younger believers. And I do not want to support Hollywood with all their perversion and all their contribution of immorality in our society. Do not want to have any part in it whatsoever. A spirit-filled Christian has no part. I say he has no part going to the theater, going to the movies, has no part. And the Bible says, love not this world, neither things that are in this world, for the love of this world and the love of this world and the friendship of this world is enmity with God. And I'm not going to be against God. So I'm staying away from this world. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, this world. And we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. You might be a big stumbling block to a young believer. I know one thing. Unbelievers know when Christians, so-called Christians, are in this world as far as participating with worldliness and participating in things that do not exemplify a godly person. Well, should the Jews be upset about this film? After all, it's a desire of the filmmaker to demonstrate a true picture of what had happened. And in doing so, he's raising up a image of Christ. And that is, by the way, blasphemous. We're not supposed to make any images of Christ. We're not supposed to be making any images of God because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And therefore, the whole premise of that film is already messed up. But anyhow, getting to the issues of the complaints by the Jewish community that this is a very anti-Semitic film, I bring this up for the purpose of let's get to the truth of the matter. Now, nobody loves the Jewish people more than I do. I am a full-blooded Jew. I'm saved, born again on my way to heaven. I'm a Bible-believing Christian as well. And I love my people, Israel. But the Jewish people as a nation simply is going to have to accept the fact that they did call out to crucify Jesus Christ. Surely not everybody did. Multitudes followed Jesus Christ, no question about it. And it was primarily the leaders, the Pharisaical leaders of that day, the Jewish leaders who were bringing all these false accusations against Christ. They were jealous of him, envious of him. They were concerned for their own position. They could care less about the Messiah coming. All they wanted was their pocketbook lined with money and influence, and that was their main goal. However, even among the Pharisees, there were those who genuinely were seeking after the Messiah, and many, many believed in Christ to be the real Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And but the fact of the matter is that the nation of Israel is going to have to take responsibility for the crucifixion. Now, the whole issue here is, are they to take all responsibility? That's the real question. And as I've already read in this article, the obvious answer is no. They're not to take all responsibility. Because when you look at why Jesus came, he came to die for sinful mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So Jesus came to die for sinners like you and I. Whether you're a Jew, Gentile, we're sinners, and we're on our way to hellfire without the forgiveness of God Almighty through the blood of the Messiah, who atoned for our sins and took away the penalty of our sins. We need to receive that free gift, by the way, in order to inherit eternal life. So the fact of the matter is, even there in Exodus chapter 12, the Bible talks about that all the congregation of Israel was to kill the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ was the true Passover lamb. He was the fulfillment of all the sacrificial system, and particularly the Passover sacrifice, Passover sacrificial lamb. He was the true fulfillment of that picture. And so if all the congregation of Israel was to kill the Passover, that means all of Israel's guilty, and everybody that was with Israel at the time was guilty. By the way, they were strangers, Egyptian strangers that had gone with them as well. And so, but he is the Savior of all man. He's the Savior of all men. Just like I've been saying all along on these many broadcasts, the scriptures are very, very clear about that. 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That big word, propitiation, simply means that Jesus Christ satisfied the requirement for paying the penalty of our sin. So he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that includes the Jewish people, and it also includes the Gentiles. And in 1 John 4:14, the Bible says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There you go again. 1 Timothy 4:10 tells us, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it? It sure is very clear. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 and verse 30 says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So, he is the Savior of the whole world. Therefore, he died for the whole world. Therefore, we're all guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is anti-Semitic to simply say it's the Jews who killed Jesus. True, the people said that leaders actually said, crucify him, crucify him. It is true. It is true according to Matthew 27, verse 24. The Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people. See, all the people were there, referring to the Jewish people in particular at that time. Of course, not all the Jewish people were there. While they couldn't fit them all there, that's just common sense. But whoever was there, primarily the Jewish people in that community, said, his blood be on us and on our children. So if you're going to have an accurate display of the crucifixion of Christ, you can't skirt the issue simply because you're afraid to be construed as anti-Semitic, because if the nation of Israel is ever going to get back to God, they're going to have to recognize who the Messiah is. And one day they will. And one day they will receive full responsibility from their point of view. They'll receive full responsibility on the part that they had when they'll look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will mourn as of an only child. They're going to realize their contribution to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But lest you get puffed up and say the Jews are at total fault, understand this, that the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So it's so very clear that God holds everybody accountable for the crucifixion, for the death of Jesus Christ. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel. But the bottom line is this, that Jesus Christ gave himself. Jesus Christ gave himself. Nobody took his life. He laid it down himself. That's the bottom line. They could have said crucify him all day long. They could have whipped him all day long. They could have just tortured him, and they could have put a spear through him 100 times. But God himself, manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself a ransom for many. Let me just reiterate what the Bible says during this time. Matthew 27:18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. This is Pilate's wife, alluding to Pilate's wife. In verse 20, the Bible says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So if you want to get even more technical, it was the chief priests, the leaders of the nation of Israel at that time, that persuaded the multitude. Now, there's a cause and effect, isn't there? The governor answered and said unto them, whether twain of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now listen up now, folks. They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Now, if you're going to portray the true episode that led up to the crucifixion and then the crucifixion, you cannot leave this out. This is all part of that true story that happened almost 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago. You can't leave this out. This is the truth. And what some are trying to do is hide the truth. The Lord Jesus also said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." So Jesus vicariously, willingly, sacrificially laid down his own life. That's exactly what had happened there. So when it comes right down to it, Jesus Christ took his own life. I mean, he became our vicarious sacrifice. He allowed himself to be killed. But more than that, he himself gave up the ghost. He himself allowed himself to die, because he could have lived through any kind of torture. He could have lived through any kind of circumstance. After all, he's God manifest in the flesh. But even so, we find that when they were going to arrest him, then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know that's right. He could have called legions of angels, 12, he says here, to rescue him from being taken into custody. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So you see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, had the power to escape. In fact, there were many instances in the Gospels recorded that he kind of just slipped out of the way and they couldn't find him. So if he really wanted to escape, he could have. But here he allowed himself to be apprehended. And then when it came time for Pilate to deal with him and to put him under the judgment, then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee?" So here Pilate's admitting it's him that's going to crucify Jesus. The Jews simply called it for his crucifixion, but it is Pilate that actually implemented the judgment. And then after that, it was the Roman who stuck the spear in his side. It could also be said that he himself would be the one guilty of killing Jesus. But the reality is, neither the Jews, neither Pilate, neither the one that stabbed him with the spear, neither the ones that parted his garments, neither the ones who mocked him, neither the ones who called out to the people, the priests and the elders, and instigated them to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." None of these groups were guilty of literally killing Jesus. Because he says right here that Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." So, folks, I hope you see the balance in all of this. The reality is that they need to keep all this information if they're going to do real honesty with the true account of the crucifixion. But again, I do not endorse this movie anyhow on the basis that I do not go to movies and I do not recommend them, because this is always Hollywood thrillers. This is for the secular world, the ungodly world, and that's their passion. That's exactly what it is. It's their passion to see stuff like this. But nevertheless, the truth must be displayed, and I hope you have gotten some help out of this. And I always strive by the grace of God to give a balance from the scriptures, because the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, is always very, very balanced. Now, I don't want you to go away. We have some more great preaching coming your way. We need to finish Dr. Bagwell's message on the blood, which would kind of go right along with what we've been talking about here today. And so we'd like you to stick with it and don't change the dial. We have some just quick announcements, and we'll get right into the, hopefully, the last part of this message on the blood. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question, as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're staying with us here for the last half of the broadcast. And we're going to continue now this message on the blood by Dr. Bagwell, great man of God, one of the greatest preachers of our era. And he happens to be my pastor. And it's a privilege to have him preach on this subject, on the blood of the Jewish Messiah and its implications. So, listen up, and you'll receive a great blessing from the Lord.
I think I've met somebody whose blood is the universal blood. It'll help any sinner on his way to hell. Hallelujah to God. Universal. Oh, I want to say that. Right in the blood book. Well, it's hard reading. I like to kill me. But I said I'm going to stick with it. World War II. Our precious boys over yonder getting shot at. Blown to pieces. Fighting against Jew-hater Hitler and all that mess. And they said, oh boy. Said, we got blood now. Said, we're going to be able to get that blood over there. And Brother Sam, a lot of them boys that have died, that blood is going to help them live. And they did, Brother Joe. Started transfusions. Saved thousands. And they don't do it no more. But back then, when they put somebody's blood in you and it saved your life, they'd give you their name. They don't do that now. They say, here's the one that saved you. And said there many a record in World War II where an old GI was given the name of the one who gave the blood that saved his life. And you see, a lot of times it was a young lady's blood. And said that young man would go home. He wouldn't even go to his house. He got to looking. He said, I want to find her. I don't know where she is, but I want to find her. And I want to thank her for giving her blood. And said, there's a lot of records of a young man falling in love with a young lady who gave her blood. He loved her so much he married her and spent the rest of... Y'all getting where this is going? One day one gave his blood for me. Oh, they told me his name. I fell in love with him. Oh, I've been walking with him ever since. Hallelujah to God. There's a little feller in the war, World War II. He's a little corporal Am I saying that right? He wasn't much, just a little corporal. Got part of his body blowed off. He's a dying. They had the blood stop, but he'd lost so much blood, he's going to die. They come running in there with some blood. They said, it's just come in. Said, we're going to give him this blood. It may save him. They give him the blood, and it did save him. I'm going to tell you the name of the donor in this case. Said on the side. This blood belonged to General Dwight D. Eisenhower. Said that corporal got better. He said he got right cocky for a little while. Said he got to walking around like maybe some of them officers ought to do what he said. Said, hey, you better straighten up, boy. What got into you? He said, I'll have you know, there flows in my veins the blood of the general, Dwight Eisenhower. His blood's a flowing in me, and I'm a feeling mighty good about it. Hallelujah to God. Announcement. I got better blood than that. Wash my sins away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. And I'm feeling good about it this morning. Hallelujah. I know you're hungry. We ain't going to be much longer. I ain't got off the water yet. Oh, that's good. Blot on the history of blood. AIDSA. Y'all follow me. When AIDS come upon us, they didn't really give it a lot of thought about the blood. They didn't test for it. They just kept drawing blood and giving it to people. And all of a sudden, they found out something. A feller who'd never been immoral, a feller who'd never injected a needle in his veins, he'd come down with AIDS. And they'd say, well, how you got AIDS? He ain't practiced no kind of weird lifestyle. He got AIDS. How'd he get AIDS? They said, we don't know. They said, we better check him out. In every case, he'd been in the hospital. He'd been sick. And they'd give him blood. And in that blood was the pathogen of the AIDS. I just come to tell you this morning. If you're going to be messing around with blood, you better be sure it ain't tainted blood. If you're going to go into hematology, if you're going to be a phlebotomist, you better be careful with that blood stuff. That stuff will kill you if it's got the wrong pathogens. Somebody nod at me. All I've done is make announcements this morning. I as well make one more. I found some blood one day that is absolutely untainted. It ain't got no AIDS. It ain't got no malaria. It ain't got no viruses. It's pure blood. Incorruptible blood. Jesus' blood won't give you no sin. Hallelujah. Makes sense, don't it? Ain't lying. I don't know how to finish this down. There's a lady, she had that Rh negative blood. I can't explain it. I read it, but I can't explain it. It's very rare. You got that kind of blood, they'll buy that blood from you. Rare blood. Said that lady, first year, she found out she had that rare Rh factor blood. Said she made $80,000 selling her blood every 2 weeks to a local blood bank. $80,000, never worked a minute. Just laid down, let them. That leads me to this conclusion. Blood can be rather valuable. Blood can be rather priceless. And may I quickly add, I know some blood that's worth more than $80,000. I know some blood worth more than $80 million. I know some blood worth more than the gold in Fort Knox. It's the blood of Jesus, and it is priceless blood. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, thank God. Thank God. One night, a doctor who'd been doing this blood research was sitting in his house. He'd already been in his lab all day, and he's tired, and he's fixing to go to bed. Lay down for the night. Somebody frantically knocked at his door. I'm about through. He got up. Somebody said, "Doctor, you got to come." He said, "My wife's dying. She's lost so much blood. Said, you got to come. Maybe you can figure out a way to help her." And the doctor said, "Sir, I'm really not yet qualified. I've not reached the end of my studies. This would be extremely..." And the man broke down. He fell on his knees and he begged him and he said, "I believe your blood will work. I believe your research will prove accurate. Would you come save my dying wife?" And the doctor put on his night coat. He went out. This is all unproved, Brother Donnie. They didn't even have tubes yet, Brother Frank, to transfer the... They didn't learn how to pump it out. And then what he did, he cut a hole in his arm where the blood was going out from his heart. He cut a hole in that lady's arm on a vein that was going up to her heart. Y'all with me? And then with his left hand, he sutured her. "And tell me if you begin to see any change." And her husband, sobbing through his eyes, said, "I'll watch her. Doctor, I'll tell you if I see any change." And it wasn't but a few seconds, brother, a few seconds. He said, "Doctor," he said, "Doctor," he said, "I believe her color is getting better." He said, "I don't think she's as pale as she was a minute ago." He said, "Something's a-happening to my wife." Yeah. And then it wasn't but a few more seconds. He said, "Doctor, she's as cold as ice a minute ago. But," he said, "she's a-warming up. Said she's beginning to respond to something." And it wasn't but a minute later, she coughed and sneezed a little bit. And he said, "Doctor, my wife is a-coming too." She spoke. I guess you think I'm taking this too far. One day I got hooked up with the doctor. He's far beyond the experimental stage. I trusted his blood to do the job. And he applied it. My color got better. My temperature warmed up. I got to coughing and a sneezing. I even got to speaking a little bit. I don't know, a fella might shout a little bit after a while. Not enough of that blood. Aren't you glad the blood does its job? I'm through. Here's the term you kept using. Blood scientist. They're still doing it, still studying the blood. Blood scientists. Blood experts. Hematologists. I got to thinking, boy, come down here this morning. You know what we're in today? We're in a hematologist convention. Everybody in this house that's saved ought to be a blood scientist. We ought to all be learning a little more about how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost as He applies the blood of the Lamb. Oh, smile at me anyhow. Good night, I live. Thank God they're blood scientists. Every preacher has that desire.
Well, that's about all the time that we have. What a great message on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. Yes, indeed. Are you washed by the blood? For the Bible tells us there in 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot. That's exactly right. It must be the blood. Without the shedding of blood, no remission, the Bible tells us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's the blood, folks. He could have died on the cross, and if He did not shed His blood, we'd all be dead in our sins. Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, fulfilled all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament Tanakh. He is the Messiah, but you must receive the shed blood atonement for the remission of your sins, to have forgiveness and to be able to receive the gift of eternal life. It's yours, but you need to come by faith.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.